There were many months in a row where my salary would come in, say, 12 p.m. By the end of the day, everything would be gone already. I was raised in a household where gambling was normalized. Like, my dad had a gambling problem as well. My first bet that I ever made was when I was primary 5. My auntie had me place a bet with Singapore Pools. It was for $5, the minimum bet, and it won. So that was kind of like the start of my gambling career. The main lure of gambling was the same things that I felt when I won that first bet. It was that number one, it was easy money. And number two, it was a good chance for me to use my knowledge of football to kind of make money. I've been a massive Manchester United fan since 8 years old. So I had this impression that because I know this team so well, I would be able to make the most money off them. But the weird thing is that actually I think Manchester United is the team that I've lost the most money on. I think the addiction didn't really start until I was 18, when I enlisted to NS. Because that was the first time I had any sort of income, and suddenly I got spending power. I was also introduced to a lot of bookies. So I started gambling on credit. And then from then on, it just got worse and worse and worse. A very rough figure of how much I've lost in my life is maybe like 100,000 to 150,000. At the height of my addiction, I was constantly in debt. I lost all my friends, and then I was struggling at work as well. I was working for a local startup. Eventually, it got to a point where I stole from them. And then I lost my job. I did not realize it was a problem because I had grown up watching my dad go through the same experiences. So I thought that I just learned how to cope with it and then just carry on with life. The thing with gambling addiction is that it's very isolating. There's a lot of lying, there's a lot of cheating. So by the end of it, I felt very lonely because I couldn't tell anybody about it. Obviously, there's a lot of depression, there's a lot of sadness, guilt and shame. I started seeking help when I coincidentally ran into a friend on the street. I ended up telling him all the things that I was going through, all the problems that I had, and he told me to just try and attend this support group meeting. I also started to come for counselling at WeCare. One of the first few counselling sessions, my counsellor said that you have to stop watching live games, which I put up a lot of resistance to. She said you couldn't watch. Cannot watch because it's a trigger for me. Once I watch a live game, almost immediately I think, what are the odds? How many goals are there going to be? All these kind of things, right? So I had to stop watching live games. With the World Cup coming up, it's the same now for me. I will not be watching any of the live games. I'll be avoiding bars as much as I can. Won't be going to friends' houses if I know that they'll be watching the matches. Another actionable step is that I don't kind of associate with friends who gamble anymore. So surrounding myself with safer people. I also had to kind of admit when I got into recovery is that I am incapable of managing my own money. So once my salary comes in, immediately it goes to my wife. So that eliminates the risk of a relapse. Come this July, I'll be 4 years clean. But there's a misconception that after you quit an addiction, everything will be nice, fine and dandy. But the triggers don't stop. You know, it might come from a random video on social media. It might come from a WhatsApp message that gets through ScamShow asking you to set up an account, offering you free credits. In the past, when I wasn't in recovery, if I get triggered, I would just go and gamble. But now, you know, I know there are these set of things that I can do.